Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
No matter the difference, we are brought together by one thing, the gift that Christ Jesus has given us. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, His church. Focused on the one thing that should unite us, Jesus. So do you accept? Do you receive the gift from God?
Recently, Joe Burrow just signed a five-year, $275 million contract, making him the highest paid player in the NFL. Yeah, I figured I'd hear some excitement about that, right? Most of you who are Bengals fans are like, yes, so glad to have him staying around, right? Renewing that contract. But what if the moment Joe signed on the dotted line, he said, work's done, I can kick back, sit on the couch, eat some Twizzlers, and just relax. That wouldn't work, would it? He's being paid to be the best, so we expect him to work hard to be the best. He needs to exercise, lift weights, eat healthy, learn the plays, all the things. He needs to put in the work. He has a lot of pressure on him to perform worthy of this contract deal. Well, we're halfway through our series on Ephesians right now. And, you know, the first three chapters, Paul spent talking about all God has done for us. Kind of like that song we were just singing, what he's done, I thank God for what he has done. He spends three chapters talking about God's love and this mystery that he would have the grace, that he would save us, that he would adopt us. And now he's going to transition. He's going to spend the next three chapters talking about how we need to live in response to all God has done. And he's going to tell us we need to live worthy. So would you join me in Ephesians? Grab your Bible app. We'll be in Ephesians all morning, starting with Ephesians 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. All right, why does Paul mention that he's a prisoner of the Lord? Well, he is showing the sacrifice that he has made to live a worthy life. He kind of has a right here to challenge the Ephesians to live worthy. And he says, in light of the calling, this word for calling is a holy invitation to spend eternity with God. It's the mystery that God would treasure us so much that he would send his son to save us. So in light of what we've learned so far in Ephesians, in light of all that God's done for us, let us live a worthy life. We live a worthy life not to earn God's love, but because of his love. So Paul continues in verse 4, showing us how to live worthy. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. How hard is it to be humble? Don't we want to assert ourselves, look out for number one, right? And if we're humble, gentle, and patient, we'll get taken advantage of, right? But God sees it differently. In James, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And in Romans, it says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. A right view of God will help us to have a right view of ourselves. And Paul got this. Do you remember how he refers to himself? He calls himself a servant of the Lord, a prisoner for the Lord. He's always focused on God's accomplishments, not his. It's not easy to be patient, is it? In John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he urges people to stop rushing. He says our hurry harms ourselves and others and makes it very hard for us to be patient. So he gives some ideas as to how we can build patience in our lives. And in this list, one that stood out to me was purposely stand in the longest line at the grocery store. I can tell by your responses you all hate that idea as much as I do. When we go to that grocery store, we want to get in and out, which line's the shortest, or maybe those self-scan things can work a little faster, right? But I realize he has a good point here. Because when I'm hurrying at that grocery store, I'm certainly not humble. I'm not thinking of others before myself. I'm not patient and kind. I'm barely even seeing the people around me other than obstacles in my way of my hurry, right? Paul says, bear with one another in love. This is our key opportunity to show patience, humility, and gentleness. People are gonna rub us wrong. They're gonna offend us. They're gonna bother us. And why? Because they're not us. They think differently. They do different things. For some crazy reason, they sometimes say things I don't like. Do we ever pause to think that perhaps their way might be more effective than ours? Or maybe I or others could benefit from them using their gifts to do things their way. Let's see our spouse, our siblings, our coworkers, our church family with humility, pausing to see where they're coming from. And even if we still can't agree, let us bear with one another in love. To live a life worthy of our calling, to progress towards spiritual maturity, our lives need to look like Christ, who was humble, gentle, patient, and loving. Spiritual maturity isn't how much you know or how long you've been walking with Jesus. It's how much you're looking like Jesus. So that leads us to our first mark of true spiritual maturity. Reflect Jesus in our character and actions. That's what Paul's talking about here in verses 1 and 2. And now he continues, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So verse 3 says, make every effort to keep unity. Who established this unity? The Holy Spirit did. Our job is not to mess it up. We have to work hard to keep and not destroy that unity. And it's unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This word for bond is often used in relation to ligaments. And Paul's going to refer to ligaments again later on in our passage. There's a lot of human body imagery as we go today. But what you need to know is ligaments bind bone to bone in the body. So just as ligaments are strong and essential to hold bones together, peace is that strong bond that can keep us united. Psalm 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Though the Holy Spirit establishes unity, we must actively work to keep it by pursuing peace. So we need to stop focusing on differences that can divide and instead seek peace to unify. So the second mark of true spiritual maturity is to pursue unity. Paul uses a lot of ones in this passage. He says, one body. So anyone who believes in Jesus becomes a part of this body. We don't get to choose who's in it with us. And we can't be a finger running away over there or a toe on the loose over here, right? We all are attached to the body. One Spirit, one Holy Spirit who comes to live inside any and every person who believes. So why do we sometimes think that we are higher than another? One Spirit inside each of us. One hope believers are called to. Remember, hope in the Bible is not just wishing for something. It is the confident assurance that something will happen, that we will be saved because of what Christ has done for us. One Lord and one faith. Now, many people say Christianity is so exclusive because we say there's only one way to God. Well, I would argue with you that we're actually very inclusive. Look at John 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All are welcome not only to join this faith, but to be adopted as God's children. And how do we do that? Jesus answered in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This one saving faith is belief in Jesus Christ as Lord. We can We can have unity with anyone who believes this. They may choose to use a different translation of the Bible than us. They may worship in a different style. They may have a different perspective on women in ministry. But if they believe that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father, then we can have unity with them. That's why on our website, when we give our position statements, we say, while we encourage women to serve in leadership roles according to their gifts given them by God, we fully respect the right of fellow evangelicals and evangelical churches to come to different conclusions, and will cooperate with them rather than combat them for the larger cause of Christ and his kingdom, which so desperately needs such unity. We agree to disagree agreeably for the sake of God's church. One baptism. This is referring to water baptism when someone believed in Christ. And this is what distinguished followers of Jesus in the time of Paul. I would encourage you, if you have not been baptized to show that you follow Christ, make that choice. November 19th is the next one coming up here. Be baptized. One God and Father of all. Now, God is a great mystery because he is three parts in one God, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This God is the Father of all believers because he adopts us as his children. If God is my Father and your Father, then why would I think I have a higher place than you or that my gifts are more important? Paul goes on to say that Christ in his grace gives us gifts. We'll talk more about those gifts in a moment, but here's the confusing part of today's passage. We just read that when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. But then Paul continues, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. All right, we're going to break it down. So verse 8 is referring to Psalm 68:18, a messianic prophecy that Christ fulfilled when he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven in victory. He set captives free by rescuing his people from sin and death, and he gave gifts to his church. So what's clear here? Paul is talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, what's unclear is what he means by he descended, and scholars even disagree on this. It might just be referring to his burial in the ground, or it might be referring to passages like 1 Peter 3:9 and 4:6, where Jesus preached to imprisoned spirits. Either way, what we can take away from these verses is that Christ is the Lord of heaven, earth, and everything under the earth. Let's continue in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So spiritual gifts are given by grace. So those who teach did nothing to earn their gift, and those who have the gift of generosity did nothing to earn that gift. Jesus chose who to give what gifts to, working with the Holy Spirit. And this is referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I actually encourage you to read that this week. That'll give you more insight into the gifts we've been given. But for now, let's unpack just these handful of gifts that are mentioned here in Ephesians. So first it says apostles, that's special ambassadors of God's work. Prophets, they would speak messages from God consistent with the Bible. Evangelists, specifically gifted to bring the lost to Christ. And then the next one, in English it says pastors and teachers, but the Greek word is actually kind of like a combo, pastor teachers. And why is that? Because the role of a pastor is to shepherd God's people, but primarily through teaching. So verses 12 and 13 describe the purpose of the church. Christ, through the Spirit, gives various gifts to each of us. He chose apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers to use their gifts to equip the body. And this is where it's not just one lead pastor either, but everyone using their gifts as they've been given. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Phil does that here. He encourages us to use our gifts. Well, what are we supposed to use these gifts for? To equip. This word for equip is a term often used for mending fishing nets, but it also can be used as setting a broken bone. So again, more body imagery here. All the body must be equipped, mended, bones set right in order to build up his body until we reach unity in faith. So the purpose of our gifts and equipped believers is unity. So do you know what I glean from this passage right here? I can't be a mature Christian in isolation. I just can't. So that leads us to our third mark of true Christian maturity, and that's to be an active part of the local church. Otherwise, the body's missing pieces. It is in the church that we use our gifts and benefit from the gifts of others to progress towards spiritual maturity. And then in verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Human bodies have a progression of growth from infant to toddler, child, teen, adult, wonderfully seasoned adult, right? And we also have a progression of growth spiritually. John 3:3 says, when we believe in Christ, we are reborn. And then in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. We're taught to go to the milk of God's word to begin to grow spiritually. We don't want to be infants tossed about by the waves, blown about by the world, because the world is going to tell us a lot about what is true, right, fair, good. And sometimes it sounds very easy to believe, but we need to know God's word, root ourselves in his truth so we don't follow the lies of Satan. He tries to fool us and lead us astray from our faith, but we need to be ready. So sometimes kids can be pretty gullible, right? Like, if there's any kids in here, I'm sorry, but it's just true. We can say a lot of things to young kids and they'll believe it. So he's grown a lot now, so I don't think it would work anymore. But if I said to my youngest Zane when he was maybe like 4, if I said, all right, bud, I just found out the world has actually started spinning a lot faster recently, and we've got to find some way to catch up and make the calendar align with what the earth is doing. And so they've decided to skip a day in the calendar. And you know what day that's going to be? December 4th, your birthday. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Just hang on to that list till next year. It's going to be okay. That would be so mean, right? But when he was little, he probably would have believed it. When we're infants, we're tossed about by the waves and blown about by deceit. Now he's older, he's almost 12, and he would look at me and be like, stop lying, Mom. Not gonna happen. He has matured, so now he can recognize truth from lies, or at least most of the time. So rather than be infants, how can we be mature? When we, 4, speak the truth in love. Again, this is communal. Paul doesn't say, if I speak the truth in love, I become a mature believer. He says, we become the mature body when we speak the truth in love. And this is how we become a united church in a divided world. We know the truth by spending time in God's word, growing up in our salvation. We cling to the truth so we aren't tossed about by Satan's lies. And we speak the truth, but we do so in love, with gentleness and humility. We, with all believers all over the globe, are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head and we are the parts. We all matter. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. You belong. Don't you love that word? We all want to belong, and you do if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Paul says the body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. What does this look like? Well, we've got an image up here for you. The bluish-gray parts, those are our joints and ligaments. So the National Institute of Health says, like strong, firmly attached straps or ropes, ligaments stabilize the joint or hold the ends of two bones together. This ensures that the bones don't twist too much or move too far apart and become dislocated. That's gorgeous imagery, isn't it? Those ligaments are keeping us from wandering too far away, twisting out of line, right? And Paul doesn't explicitly say this, but I look at this and think, I think the Holy Spirit's the ligaments. It's the Holy Spirit who brings unity to the body. He binds us all together securely so that the body can be built up in love as each part does its work. Love is key to unity. And this week, when you read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll notice at the very end that Paul says, "Yet I will show you the most excellent way." And then he continues into chapter 13, which is a whole chapter devoted to love. We can't have unity without love, and we can't have Christian maturity without love. But we also can't have maturity if we sit passively. Because the very end of our passage says, in love, as each part does its work. And that's our fifth step to spiritual maturity. Use the gifts we've been given for the benefit of the body. You're a part of Christ's body if you've believed in him. And we're thankful for you. We're so glad you're here or watching online. But we need you. The body can't be complete unless each part does its work. Everyone will benefit when each person is serving where they have been gifted. And that's why here at MCC, we offer a class called Discover Your Purpose. The next one's coming up November 26th. You can find it on the events part of our website. But that's where you can come and take a spiritual gifts assessment and see, where has God given you strengths? What are some passions that he's put in you? And then how can we use those gifts to serve the church and the community? So I encourage you to take part of that if you've never done so. So here are some next steps to growing in your spiritual maturity. And guess what? We have a next steps brochure out in the atrium. You've probably already seen it. The first one in our next steps as a church is to experience God. And we do that when we come together on Sunday mornings, when we worship, when we hear teaching. But let me tell you, you will never fully experience God if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not responded to that calling, that holy invitation to accept all he's done for you, that gift of love, forgiveness from your sins, walking in the confidence that we can have eternal life with him, you're not fully experiencing God. But we want you to do that today, and there'll be prayer partners down front who can help walk you through that after service. If you've accepted Christ, then we encourage you to be baptized. And if you haven't done so yet, you can also find out more about that on the events part of our website. Then we grow together. We study God's word and we do it together because we can learn more together. God designed us as a body for a reason. We discover our purpose, which was the class we just talked about, and then we make an impact. When each part of the body is serving as we've been gifted, we can become the mature body of Christ, united in his Holy Spirit. Where are you serving? Where are you making an impact? True Christian maturity is only attained when I'm a working part of the body, using my gifts, speaking in love, and helping to unite the body of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for all you've done. You are so good. You would adopt us as your children, no matter what we've done in our past. You forgive us. You give us this holy invitation to live worthy. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that if they haven't accepted you yet, that they would do that today, that they would determine, hey, I'm going to walk in God's grace, forgiveness, and love. Maybe their next step is to be baptized. Or Lord, if we've received that, then help us to live worthy. Help us to be humble, patient, and kind, to bear with one another in love. Help us to keep the bond of peace, the unity in your body. Lord, I just ask that as a church, we would be united, that your Holy Spirit would flow through us with understanding, gentleness, speaking the truth in love towards one another. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.